Folks, I'd like everyone to take a seat, please.
It is 1:25, and public comments is up to start before 1:30. However, to stay on track, I will start public comment, and if somebody arrives a little after 1:30, I will still take the speaker cards, and we have enough speakers to make that overlap. So I will start with public comment from Beeman, please. 3 minutes. And you need to make sure you state your name, please.
My name is Irv Beeman. I'm a strategy PhD level psychologist and strategy execution consultant.
Can you speak close to the mic? Thank you.
Irv Beeman. I'm psychologist and strategy execution consultant for the past 30 years to for-profit, more than 200 for-profit companies living in the St. Ignace Valley, and been educating myself about oil and water for the last few years. I'm devoting my time pro bono to protect Santa Barbara County's most critical strategic resource, our groundwater aquifers. Strategy includes considering both short and long-term threats or risks and how to allocate limited strategic resources. It includes decisions about what not to do as well as what to do in our collective journey toward a better future. We cannot conduct business as usual, as the county has been doing for the past 100 years, with no consideration for the new normal challenges that the county has been facing. The devastatingly tragic effects of fire, drought, and rain bombs, all of which are predictable consequences of accelerating climate change that is arising because of rampant fossil fuel production and consumption. I'm astonished and dismayed about the convoluted and manipulated regulatory process for our groundwater. A critical example is the ERG project currently under review for 233 new thermally enhanced cyclic steaming oil and gas production wells in Cat Canyon. The EIR for that project indicates that ERG is currently applying to this water board for an exemption that, if other decisions are favorable, would permit them to proceed as planned. We don't need more oil. The U.S. is already the largest oil producer in the world and soon will be a net exporter of oil. What we need to be doing is getting off oil and building the clean energy economy of the future. This is the strategic direction that Santa Barbara County can and should establish. ERG and other upcoming projects by ERA and Petrolock will penetrate the Santa Maria Underground Water Basin and possibly other smaller water basins. The extraction and wastewater wells expose this water basin to the strategic risk of contamination by hazardous and carcinogenic chemicals. This is an extremely hazardous risk that has occurred in other locations around the country as a result of similar extraction and wastewater operations. According to one county water purveyor I talked to, the Santa Maria groundwater basin by itself is not potable because it does not meet the minimum standard for drinking water. This is not well advertised. The reason given is because water intrusion into the aquifer is a result of prolonged excessive pumping. Last point, we're in a seismically active region, which we're all aware of. Any seismic event can crack a cement casing around a water well. That's an unacceptable strategic risk for the county. It is simply unacceptable. And my perception is it is your job to deny ERG's request for an exemption. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Next is Larry Bishop, please.
Good afternoon, board members. My concern, similar to Irv Beeman before me, is regarding the upcoming permit approvals or denials for three oil projects in North County, the ERA, ERG, and PetroRock permits. My concern as it relates to the water board are the exempt aquifer status of their the upcoming steam injection wells, but specifically to the wastewater injection well, which is an over well on site at the ERG facility, and then the other facilities are coming up for review. The wastewater injection well, I believe, is in an aquifer. It's dumping into an aquifer whose permit status is pending. It is not approved yet, and they have a continuing operation, and as I understand, a continual discharge into that wastewater injection well. And I don't know what the status of their steam injections. They have, I believe, a couple hundred steam injection wells. They want to put in about 250 more high pressure, high temperature wells going through the Santa Maria groundwater basin, and in addition, the shallow aquifer for the wastewater well is in an aquifer whose status of permit status is pending, and I believe this has to go back to 2014-15 when an agreement between the state and the federal EPA on reevaluating these wells. My concern is the enhanced volumes and pressures and temperatures that are going into specifically the wastewater injection wells. Do we know that the exempt, non-usable aquifers are going to handle this increased amount? And so, in many of these, I understand their exempt status is based on tenuous fault and tar seals, and pressure gradient seals. So, if you're increasing pressures to that aquifer, what does that do to adjoining safe, usable water aquifers? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. And next is Noel McGovern.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your kind attention. So,
could you state your name, please?
My name is Noelle Lee McGivern. I was born in Santa Barbara and lived away, came back recently. I work in the schools. And I'm urging all of us to really listen to what all the First Nation people are saying about this oil, is to leave it in the ground. And that pipelines is not if they're going to leak, it's when they're going to leak. And how precious our water is in that aquifer that serves so many people who can't get up like me and leave, sell my condo, go away, live somewhere else. We really need to think about the people in Santa Maria and all the agriculture that goes on there. We just can't risk our water. I have a friend who works for ExxonMobil, and he's a lovely person. You know, I was such a good friend of his that I just started noticing what Exxon was doing when he was down there in Houston getting his, you know, investments in order so he could be wealthy, which is great. I was watching Rex Tillerman was doing up there talking to his shareholders saying, we know this is going to wreck the planet, but we're going to all go sooner or later. So the question is, sooner or later? And I just became a grandmother. I'd rather go to zero emissions immediately. I would be willing to take the bus. I'd be willing to walk. I would be willing to put down my phone. Because life is so precious. Water is precious. I have indigenous practices where I go without water. I prayer fast in 110 degree heat with no water for like 48 hours. And people do it more than that. But I tell you, when the water goes away, we go away. So thanks for protecting our water. I'm so honored to be in your presence, and I really appreciate all that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comment. Next, we have Janet Blevins.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. My name is Janet Blevins. I have lived in Santa Barbara County since 1986. I live in Lompoc. And I have been fighting oil development for the last, specifically hard, and almost constantly for the last 7 years. Here in Santa Barbara County, we are being absolutely inundated with requests for new cyclic steaming wells. We have on the docket more than 750 within three different oil projects that are coming before the county. I think that we are turning a corner in terms of people understanding that our drinking water is what we need to save. We have enough oil. We need oil for the time being for transportation, but that will change. We cannot do without water, period. We need our water. The risks to drinking water in this county due to oil exploration, production, etc. They keep saying we've been doing this for 100 years. And I say, no, 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 no. Now it's time to stop. You've had your century. No more wastewater injection wells. Please, please. You are our first line of defense here. If you don't okay it, theoretically, they can't do it. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Harold Hill, please.
My name is Harold Hill. Good afternoon to the board. I'm here on the same subject, the ERG project, and the two projects that will be coming up afterwards. I'm concerned about the safety of the groundwater. I am a retired civil engineer. I have worked for a company that does cyclical steam injection, so I know the risks involved. I have also worked for cities who've had pollution of their water supply and had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to other aquifers and block off contaminated aquifers. And so I'm sure that's the kind of thing that you're familiar with. First of all, many of the wells that EIG plans to apply steam pressure to are old existing wells that quite likely have corroded casings and failing cement seals. Assuming they do not, they do, petroleum could easily rise to the level of potable water aquifers above the petroleum stratum and render the aquifer contaminated and unusable. Oil wells depend on a cement seal that the well casing to prevent petroleum from getting into the potable water aquifer above. Earthquakes, since these older wells that they'll be injecting into have been drilled, could easily have caused those seals to fail. The draft environmental impact for the project says that the conditions critical to stop contamination will be written later by the Division of Oil, Gas, Geothermal Resources at a later date. But these conditions are so crucial to preventing contamination that I believe that draft provisions should be a part of the appendix of the EIR, and I ask that you require this before their permit is approved. Wastewater injection wells are the next subject. ERG proposes to dispose of its chemically contaminated process water in new wells drilled into what is represented to be an unusable aquifer. Pressure injection and contaminant of contaminated wastewater could easily break through strata separating the non-potable from the potable aquifer, rendering the potable aquifer totally unusable. We are in a drought situation in this area of Santa Barbara County, containing 200,000 residents, cannot always count on California aqueduct water, so it is critical for you to protect the only aquifer that they have to depend on. EIG currently is in bankruptcy, making it impossible for the county or the state to recover the cost of any cleanup that EIG causes. For that reason, I believe that EIG should be required to post a bond for the estimated cost of cleanup before the government agencies incur the cost of further review, since it is estimated that the oil company failure rate is somewhere around 20% in complying with their permit requirements.
Could you wrap up your...
Thank you for your time, and I have a copy of my remarks if you'd like to have a copy.
It's recorded, so thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Let's see, a couple of more speaker cards. I will start with Mr. Shimmick. And Kim Mercer will be next.
Good afternoon, Steve Shimmick, the Otter Project and Monterey Coast Keeper. First of all, thank you for your service. Like the speakers before me, we look to you folks to protect our water. You are the intersection between our water law and people that are wanting to use our water. So we need you and your volunteers, and everyone just has to respect the power that you have and the services you provide. My comment's very short. As you probably heard in the closed session, on July 16th, Coast Keeper 1, the original Coast Keeper case, will be heard in the appellate court. I think we'll win, but I have no idea, really. That'll be known maybe on soon after July 16th, maybe even on July 16th. We hope the ruling from the appellate court will begin to settle what are the minimum standards for these agricultural discharge permits. And we also hope that it will provide a clearly understood, although that's a pretty big wish, but a clearly understood foundation for the Ag Order 4.0. It's fortuitous that this is finally going to get settled before the first draft of 4.0 comes out. I hope it's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shimmick. And last public comment card, Ms. Mercer. Okay. All right. No comment. So that concludes the public comment period. And our next item, 11, if you could introduce that item, Mr. Robertson.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I have a question about something we heard at public comment. I propose it to you and see how we could handle this. I'd like more information about what's happening with the Cat Canyon permits. And now, I'm sure it's not the time to get into that, but I'd like staff to educate us on what's happening there, who's permitting what, and what criteria are being used in deciding whether there's any groundwater aquifer supplies that are potentially threatened by what's being proposed.
So since this is not an agendized item, what we could do possibly at the next board meeting is you include this as an update to the board members with that.
So I'm actually going to suggest maybe at the December, because our next meeting is in Watsonville. The December meeting is in San Luis Obispo, which is much closer to the Cat Canyon oil fields and to the public commenters to.
So then the timing would still be meaningful, you know, but because I think we don't want to have this an update and it's like, well, this was already, decision was made.
Okay.
After, we don't want this to be after the fact.
Let me get a better understanding of the timing there.
Okay, and then let's.
So the county's, currently there's a draft EIR on the street, so that's what all the speakers are here to comment on, and we have a permit authority, obviously, so. Once that 30-day comment period closes, then there's probably a shorter window in order to redress some of these.
But I would like to actually have Mr. Robertson check with our oil and gas staff and then get back to us. And that way the timing needs to be such that, you know, this update is not after the fact.
So are we actually issuing permits for what I heard being proposed?
So there's two layers there. There's the aquifer exemption component, and then beneath that, there's the individual project component. The EIR, I suspect, refers to the individual project component. I heard the number 236 wells. I think that was in cyclic steam wells. I think that's in reference just to ERG's project. There's also, as was mentioned, ERA and PetroRock, I think, was the third entity. But I think I'm not sure the scope of the EIR, if it covers all three or just one. Just ERG's project. Okay. Sometimes they band together and do cumulative, too. Okay, so we'll let me do a little more digging on this and then evaluate timing.
So we sounds like we don't issue a permit, but we come up with a determination as to whether the groundwater.
So we offer an opinion on the aquifer exemption component. We offer an opinion. We submit that to State Water Board. State Water Board then confers with Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, DOGGR, and then submits their. Approval or denial for the aquifer exemption to the U.S. EPA. Mm. So we're contributors to the process. We don't own the process or the authority in the process.
Okay.
There. Now, with specific to the lower level, the individual project level now, which is what the EIR is for, we are asked to counsel DOGGR on this process. So we submit our take, our opinions on this. Okay.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Just one more thing. If any of the commenters, once you've followed up and decided when we're going to hear on it, if any of the commenters want to find that out, maybe we could give them the name of who they should contact at the region.
So that's a perfect segue. I was also going to suggest that Matt Keeling will again raise his hand and wave in the back of the room. Matt is the senior for the active oil field regulation part of our agency, and I encourage you to talk with him about the timing, specifically about the timing of the projects versus the aquifer exemption, because he'll know the specific details here. Okay?
And in addition, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we post this on a website?
I don't know that we currently post aquifer exemptions. State Board has a LIRIS list that you can enroll in, and you get notice of pending aquifer exemption. I know this because I'm on that list. You get notice of pending public meetings associated with aquifer exemption decisions and pending aquifer exemption decisions.
So that's another means of feedback.
Go to the State Water Board's website and enroll in the LIRIS list associated with active oil fields.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.